Before we get into the podcast, I want to share with you about our new ebook, Creating and Curating a Recruiting Culture. Now, this ebook will help you recruit volunteers more effectively at your church and will walk you through how to build a recruiting culture and make recruitment and leadership development part of everyone's role, not just the pastor's. That is going to be vital for you to grow your church. To download that for free, just visit myleadershippipeline.com/5LQ. Once again, that's myleadershippipeline.com/5LQ. Now, enjoy the podcast.
All right, you're listening to the Five Leadership Questions podcast. This is Eric Geiger hosting with my man, Daniel M.
Hello, hello.
And Todd Atkins.
I'm not his man, apparently.
I said...
I'm not my man.
No, you're right. You're not.
You're holding... It looks like you're holding a baton.
So you are listening to a really important week. This is day one of an important week called Recruit Week.
Recruitment.
So we're not trying to recruit you for anything, but we are trying to help you.
We would if you were in our church, though.
Yeah. Or, well, actually, if you were an employee at Lifeway, Todd Atkins is known for recruiting people from other people's teams to join his team. That is what you're known for. I'm not saying it's accurate necessarily.
Daniel M., I imported from Canada.
I think I'm the only person. Oh, me and Chandler are the only people out.
Are you offended at all that he said he imported you?
I mean, there are not many things that offend me anymore.
I mean, it wasn't like I pursued and I
imported.
I brought him on to this great team with this compelling vision. He just like called you a commodity.
No. Yeah, no, that's like high end, high class. You know,
oh,
imported.
Like an import, like car.
So one of the things we talk about is how to treat people well as you're recruiting them. So this is recruitment week, not importment week.
Okay.
But Todd did bring Daniel, and we're really glad he did from Canada. We actually have a couple employees from Canada here.
We're taking over.
And both of them are really strong. Aaron Armstrong, who leads the brand manager of the Gospel Project, and Daniel M., who is on our leadership team, but also overseas new churches. So
yes,
super grateful for those guys. But we're going to talk about recruiting. And you may think about this in terms of recruiting people to join your leadership team in any kind of environment. But specifically, we want to focus in on recruiting in local churches. So
amen.
Bringing people on as sometimes you may call them lay leaders. I don't like the term lay leader because I think that fosters a false dichotomy between clergy and laity, which is very unbiblical, but perhaps you've heard the term lay leader, so maybe you think about it that way.
Go ahead and break that down since you went there. I mean, just even before our first question.
Just break
clergy
down.
Clergy and laity.
Clergy and laity. All right, here's why it's messed up. Because it's hijacking two biblical words that actually mean two very different things. Mm. So clergy comes from the Greek word kleros, okay? And that means inheritance or lot. For example, in Colossians, the scripture says that you have received the inheritance of the saints. The word there for inheritance is kleros, which then becomes clergy. And then the word for laity comes from the Greek word laos, which means people. So 1 Peter 2:9, for example, you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a people, a laos, belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. So in the scripture, laos means people, laity means people, and clergy means inheritance. So the reality is everybody in your church has the clergy, who's a Christian. Everybody in your church has the inheritance, and everybody in your church is the laity.
Right.
That's awesome. Is the people of God.
So let's close in prayer. Recruitment week is over.
We made this messed up division between clergy and laity. So here's the thing that's frustrating to me about the term. And so I'm not knocking you if you preach this weekend to encourage the laity, to mobilize the laity. that's a phrase that sometimes is used.
Yep.
The reason I really get frustrated with the term is because it's not only did we misuse a term or take a term that's not in the scripture. We actually took biblical words that mean something else and misused them. Imagine how frustrated the Apostle Paul is. Like, I actually mean something different by that word. I don't mean that. I don't mean that it's people in your church who are
means what you would think it means.
Quote unquote, just volunteers. So
that's good.
That is a long intro.
No, and you know what? Not only on the 5LQ podcast do we bring you great guests, and we're going to be talking about recruiting, but we are also giving you sermon ideas.
Sermon ideas.
You're a preacher and you don't have your message ready for this Sunday. There you go.
I'm going to tell you what this means.
You just say the Greek word. You just say, the title of the sermon is Two Words We Messed Up.
Yeah.
Oh.
Two words we robbed of their power. So, recruitment. Recruitment week, day one. What exactly is recruiting? We are thinking about people in your church who are not engaged, or maybe they come twice a month, maybe they're in a group even, but they haven't displayed their ownership of the mission of the church by joining some type of ministry that allows them to serve in the context of their church. So not saying that these people don't love Jesus, or that they aren't serving in their workplace, or that they aren't contributing to the common good of culture by being salt and light wherever they are. We're not saying that they don't love their neighbors. We're saying, how do you grab people who haven't bought into the vision of the local church to the extent that they're going to volunteer and give time to this grand mission?
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to mean this week when we talk about recruiting. So I'll kick off the first question, then we'll just kind of round table it around. Is that good, guys?
Yeah,
round around.
Good.
I'm being a little bit type A-ish as I'm hosting.
You are.
This time.
You're taking over.
It's because you weren't on the podcast where we interviewed Robbie Gallaty.
I got my feelings hurt. Yeah. So no, sometimes when y'all take, I kind of just chill and answer questions, but y'all said you want to kick this one off, so I'm just going straight up type A on this one, guys. So I'm going to moderate this beast, and I'm going to kick off the first question. Why do so many churches feel like they never have enough leaders?
All right, so if this was on social media, I would pull up the GIF app and I would type in fire and see what GIFs come up. Because every week—
Do you mean GIFs or GIFs?
A GIF.
I might have been saying them incorrectly the whole time.
I say GIF.
I don't know.
I'm sorry, guys.
GIF is a wonderful peanut butter.
Which, by the way, I hear stories of Todd when he grew up that he ate two things, ice cream and peanut butter sandwiches. Okay,
but you know, when Todd and I were in Australia last year, he literally brought a massive jar of Jif peanut butter with him.
I did.
Because he wasn't sure what the Australians ate.
I brought two jars, and I gave one to my host, and she was like, what is this? We have our own peanut butter. And then she tried it, and she was like, this is full of sugar.
There's like no peanuts in it.
Everything in America is full of sugar. When Todd gets to heaven, and I really believe in all, with all my heart, he's going. I really do. I believe he loves the Lord.
At least for judgment.
And I think when he gets there, Jesus is going to look at him and say, Todd, I put so much good food opportunity in front of you, and you ate three things.
Hey, I'll eat anything that came down on the sheet. Any meat is up for grabs.
Okay.
But I don't like cooked vegetables.
Okay,
and
so fire.
Fire. That's where
fire.
We were.
Dumpster fire.
So the reason I would pull up the GIF, a fire GIF, is because every week there's a fire. Every week, especially when it comes to volunteers and volunteers not showing up, or something that happened this past week that just caused you to get off trail. It's like, oh, you know, I was going to prepare some training for my leaders, mm-hmm. but a fire came up. I was going to spend some time calling some future leaders or coaching them or checking in, and a fire came up. So I feel like so many churches, and especially the churches that I've pastored in, and the current one that I'm in right now, we never have enough leaders because it's hard to spend enough time because of the fires.
That's what I think most of the time, folks who are listening, they go to a church and they don't have enough leaders even when they get there. And so they always feel like they're playing catch up. So if the church grows a bit, feel like they're playing catch up. It feels like you're always playing catch up on recruiting the right people to the team.
I would say I'm going to rattle off a couple of different things. One, I would say in a lot of churches, it's a cultural issue. And basically, we've trained whatever your culture currently is, you're basically training your church to be that. So if you're always looking for leaders, if you always have a dumpster fire every Saturday, it's going to be really hard to break out of that until you can shift That mindset and that culture, especially if you've chosen to buy leaders instead of build them.
Which that goes to my rant at the beginning. There is a theological issue that in some churches there's been an unhealthy ecclesiology, an unhealthy view of the church that's been fostered over the years, which is if we want something done, we pay people to do it.
Right.
And so in some places, and think about it, if you are a believer, but you haven't really thought a lot about how the church is to function, you might think, man, in every other place in my life, whenever I need something done, I pay people to do it.
Right.
So in my business, man, we decided we're going to pay people to do this thing. And so in the church, that's what we do, right? If there's more kids in the kids ministry, let's pay some people to handle those kids.
Yeah. And we do that because, I mean, how many times have I connected with churches and church leaders about on this issue? And they're like, well, my people are so busy.
Yeah.
And we live in a big city. And even if they're in a smaller
city, you don't understand.
Yeah. I can't overburden them. I can't. Mm-hmm. And they're saying no for their leaders.
Yeah. Don't say no for your leaders.
No.
I did say I had a couple of things, guys. So I want to, let's focus back on me for a second.
You're like waving around this baton.
So the other thing is you are doing too much. Everything you do as a church has an opportunity cost. Mm. Everything you do may have been good at one time, but if it doesn't align with the mission and if it doesn't align with your vision.
That's a good point.
And your strategy, then you need to cut it out because every announcement, every leader, every event, every room space, all of that stuff, it all adds up.
Well spoken. So you got 100 people. Imagine you have 100 volunteers or 100 leaders that you're leveraging in your church. And if you're leveraging them towards 10 things, is very different if you're leveraging them towards 4 things.
Mm-hmm. And do those four and do those things even align with what you should be doing in the first place? Because as a church grows and develops, we have with the church growth movement, we have drifted toward a more affinity-based ministry than serving-based ministry, in my opinion.
All right. Well, let's go to the second question.
Well done there, Daniel.
What do we mean by well, I let him say his couple things.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. What do we
One
mean?
Of them was good.
Danielson, well done.
What do we mean by recruiting?
That wasn't offensive?
What? Why is that offensive? That's my favorite movie as a kid.
Okay.
Because he's Asian.
That is not because he's Asian to me. Daniel, it is because his name's Daniel.
But Daniel in Karate Kid isn't Asian.
Exactly. It wasn't because he was Asian. I have done that with other people named Daniel.
Okay. Do you realize on the last Karate Kid, is it like the third or the fourth one?
I remember the one where, no, that's Rocky. I remember the one where he did the swan kick at the end.
Yes. Yeah.
And hit the punk blonde-headed dude. Oh, I wanted to beat that dude so bad, man.
I was showing my kids the Karate Kid trailer.
God, I hated that blonde-headed guy. He was like the bully at school so badly wanted to get kicked in the face.
What was the second question again?
What do we mean by recruiting? What do we mean by it? Like, what is recruiting?
So recruiting is inviting people to join a great mission. So you think about recruiting.
Not just to do a job.
No, it's not just to do a job. Sometimes we perhaps get that word from, we think about military, you know, a recruit. Yeah. I'm not saying that's where we always get the word from, but that is, they are known for recruiting.
Right.
But just pay attention to the next military commercial you see. They are not selling a job as much as they're selling a community and a cause.
Right.
You are joining a group of elite officers or elite soldiers, and look at the imagery. There's a mission aspect to it. So when I think of recruitment, I think you're not asking somebody just to do something. You are recruiting them to a grand mission.
Absolutely.
To be a part of a great community.
Oh, and building off of that, you know, as soon as you said that commercial, that commercial from my childhood, Be All You Can Be.
Oh, yeah.
You know, be all that you can be.
Oh, yeah.
It was for the Army, right?
You sang that so well.
Thank you.
Are you being sarcastic there?
Very much so.
So what I was thinking about was, that really is what we're supposed to do as church leaders. Once people, you know, do Ephesians 2:8-9 and they come to faith in Christ, we need to help them move to Ephesians 2:10 and, you know, they are God's workmanship, and he's prepared in advance for them to do things. So it's helping that person be who God has created them to be. Them figure out who he's created them to be and find that. I mean, what we're really talking about is fulfillment here.
Yeah.
And I would say you cannot experience fulfillment. You cannot experience spiritual maturity apart from using your gifts in service to Christ. Amen.
Are there other terms that you're seeing, Todd, and all the coaching that you and Daniel are doing with Ministry Grid and also with Leadership Pipeline and Leadership Development? Are churches using other terms other than recruitment? I mean, I know we're calling this Recruiting Week. Is there another term that is often used, or is everyone listening hearing this term like, oh, I know exactly what they're talking about?
Yeah, there seems to be internal language and external language.
Yeah.
The internal staff language that often gets used, I find, especially when you talk about recruiting, assimilation is a huge word that is talked about in this world.
Yeah, like, but of course, if I'm a regular cat out in the...
you don't want to use that externally.
So you guys want to assimilate me.
The Borg.
Yeah, I'm so grateful that I'm going to get to be assimilated.
Acculturated.
Must assimilate.
So, yeah, I mean, notice the Marine commercial isn't trying to assimilate you.
But you will be assimilated.
Yeah, yes, you will. But they are grabbing you with a grand recruiting story, whether they use the term or not. Right?
I've heard some churches use the term shoulder tap as a way to enforce the behavior, or not enforce the behavior, encourage.
We are so recruitment driven. We're enforcing.
You will shoulder tap 10 people this week or else.
No, I do think recruiting though is often misused, because when recruiting to me implies some intentionality versus what typically happens, which is, man, if there is that dumpster fire, I just got to get this position filled.
Oh,
versus
goodness.
Thinking about
that,
the person.
I know we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that later.
We will.
But that's going to. I want to spend some time on that one. So let me take us to question three. Why is recruiting important to leadership development? So it's a subset, right? We're saying it's a subset of leadership development, and it's an important part of leadership development.
Yeah, I feel like we've talked about this here and there in the first couple questions, but above all else, recruiting is so important to leadership development because recruiting is not just about finding warm bodies. Mm-hmm. It's not just about filling a position, as we've talked about before. Yeah. You gotta recruit them toward the vision of the ministry, but then you really have to develop them. Even if you look at all the Gallup Q12 mm-hmm. engagement survey, and if you're not familiar with Gallup Q12,
Google it.
Yeah, Google it. You'll see.
Oh, we'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, 12. In very, very well-crafted questions that measure the engagement in an organization. And that can be applied to the church. And what's interesting is 3 out of the 12 talk about development. Like, has someone mm-hmm. talked to you about development in the last 12 months?
That's good.
And if recruitment is all about filling a position, you're going to lose them.
Yeah.
But if you recruit them and it's not just about a warm body, but you're continuing to develop and equip them and develop them in their competencies, then they're going to continue to grow with you.
And I'm not saying that recruitment's the best word. It's not, you know, it's not a word we find in the scripture, but I do like the imagery of the word recruitment as it relates to leadership development. So recruitment paints a big picture that there's a mission. And if a mission's big enough, it's going to require development.
Right.
So just as I'm recruited to join the armed forces, you're not going to then not develop me because the mission's so big. So to me, the word recruitment, the reason I like that we're using it this week is it's a subset of leadership development. The mission is so big. The calling is so significant. The community is so sacred that I'm being recruited into this. And there's no way that leadership development doesn't follow this because the task is so enormous.
Absolutely. And again, going back to that thought of intentionality and the connection to recruitment, who I'm recruiting says a lot about my ministry and says a lot to who is going to be connected to my ministry down the road. So, you know, we do another podcast, Daniel and I do, called New Churches, where we talk about church planting and multi-site. And so one of the things that I would harp on is, man, especially if you're starting a new ministry or a new church, the leaders that you initially bring on board will have a direct effect on who comes down the road.
Absolutely. Because your leaders build the culture.
Because it's going to be, I mean, you know, Jesus, you could say, he said, follow me. And I think when he said that to the disciples, you know, if you want to stretch, you can say that's recruiting. But what I would say is, it is a call to, you know, emulation, mm-hmm. if that makes
good.
Sense.
It's like, good.
All right, let's go to question four. What are some common mistakes to recruiting?
All right, so I have some research that I wanted to share.
Of course
on
you
this
do.
One.
Of course you do.
Yeah, of course.
And so, now a word from your sponsor.
Newchurches.com. What do you say when I say that, Todd? New Uh-oh. Churches, what's the rap?
It's not a rap.
Todd
It's the Geico commercial.
Todd cannot rap.
I think it's Geico. They're like, newchurches.com, tell your friend, tell your dad, tell your mom.
Okay, literally, that's been running through my head the last couple of days.
If I am trying to go to bed at night and that pops into my head, I'm going to be so angry with you.
Go ahead and text me. I'll be up. I have a new baby. So.
All right. So, but for real, at newchurches.com, in conjunction with Lifeway Research, we did research on the state of church planting. And what we did from that is we actually pulled out all of the churches that multiplied in their first 5 years of existence. And we were like, okay, these churches, not big budgets, not big buildings, but these are at least five-year-old church plants. They multiplied once, at least once.
That's significant. And then to multiply within your first five?
Yeah, and then we were like, what are the practices that cause them to multiply? Mm-hmm. And one of the six practices was a commitment to leadership development.
Wow, that's big.
So churches that multiply don't see their volunteers as hirelings to carry out grunt work, so that the real pastors can do the real work of ministry.
Yeah, that's
right?
Great.
That was huge. So what was fascinating about the research is it was like, okay, literally churches that multiplied saw that nursery worker who you just pulled in because you didn't meet quota that week for insurance purposes. Churches that multiplied saw that person not just as someone who would fill in a spot, but as someone who could potentially be on a trajectory to lead the entire children's ministry.
I love that.
So what was, and here's the actual research, some of the things that we found, the correlations that we found. Church planters that mentored leaders of other new churches, they had higher average worship attendance. Hmm. Like leadership development actually affected their worship attendance. Huh. Church planters who participated in at least a month-long leadership training course also had higher average worship attendance.
Mr. Good. Sorry.
So that's Sorry, worship attendance on the one side. But here's church plants who had a leadership development plan. They actually saw more people make decisions for Christ. Like having a leadership development plan affected evangelism.
Yeah.
And the transformation and church plants actually reach self-sufficiency.
Have you released that research
yeah,
already?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes.
That's great.
It's a free download, but
that's significant.
I mean, they reached self-sufficiency faster
yeah.
when they were focused on leadership
development. So that is some incredible research on the practice. What are some mistakes? Some common mistakes
in recruiting? I would say it is just trying to put out the fire and saying, you know what. There are some positions in a church, I get it, that, you know, in a children's ministry specifically, it's like we have to maintain this ratio of adults yeah. and children.
Well, you got to have X number of people at check-in stations. You're not going to have a safe and secure zone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all those things.
Those are really important. Here's the biggest mistake I see. It is, some have called it the cattle call approach. Some have called it the anybody can do this approach. Some have called it the come one, come all approach. But you know when I say those things, what I'm saying. It's when leaders just, their strategy for recruiting is, hey, can I get an insert in the bulletin this week?
Yeah.
Hey, come on, please let me be the lead story on the church newsletter. Hey, pastor, listen, I'm asking, can you give me 5 minutes? Here's an index card of the things I need you to say on Sunday morning to recruit for my area. That is the biggest mistake. Here's what it says. I'm gonna get really in your grill.
Okay.
This could be offensive.
It's getting real here.
I like it.
It's about to get real. If that's your approach, you may not realize this, but you are admitting you are a poor leader.
Desperation is not a good look.
Here's you just gave me a wince face like that I was too strong or
no, go for it.
Too strong of a statement for the podcast?
No, go.
Because here's what it's saying. I can't lead with a compelling vision. I can't rally people to join a strong mission. I am going to desperately rely on mass group catacalls multiple times a year. And I'm not leading with conviction. I'm leading with desperation. And you're not going to get the best people that way either. You're going to get people who feel guilty that there's no one watching the 3-year-olds. You're going to get people who feel guilty that there was nobody being a greeter in the parking lot. You're not going to get people who are compelled to the great vision. And so what I've told pastors before about staff teams, because pastors have confessed to me that, and this really came out after Simple Church, they would say, man, I have staff that they made me feel guilty that I'm not announcing their stuff or pushing their stuff. And what I said is, hey, just real quickly, are those your strongest players? And the answer was never yes. The answer was never yes. The strongest players on a staff team don't lead that way. They don't need to lead that way, because throughout the week, they aren't waiting to a Sunday morning catacall. They are constantly recruiting people because their ministry is led by this very strong, compelling mission.
Yeah, and on that note, what do you think the congregation is hearing when they hear that? Number one, today in culture, it's like, if it's for everyone, it's not for me. Oh, he's probably talking about someone else. Oh, I mean, I'm involved here. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And unless you get that specific ask, that personal ask.
And I'm going to break it down.
Someone else.
I'm going to break it down even real. So you usually get the same 7 people to apply. Oh, yeah. And 3 of them don't pass the background check. And one of them's the weird lady that nobody wants to call and have on their team anyway. And so you're not going to get a solid team from which to build a ministry.
A couple more mistakes would be asking people that are already serving because they're there in front of you and you know they'll say yes. So you're just continuing
only to hitting up your friends would be another mistake. Not stepping outside of your relational network.
I would say conscripting people into service. So I have
what?
Conscripting people into service. I'm going with the military term here.
Todd, I'm impressed. Can you break down this word for us?
Conscript would be like drafting. Like, hey, guess what? You know what? You have a preschooler, so we require you to serve in our preschool.
Everyone who has a preschooler must serve.
I actually also have consulted with a church that if you were a member, you had to serve in the children's ministry.
It's guilt. You're trying to recruit by guilt.
They didn't enforce it.
It means that
they just said it.
It means that policy came because they had a really bad season. That's what happens. These new things get something happens. Something happens.
It's a big problem. Let's solve it with a policy. Right,
for the church staff, it makes sense. It's like, well, if your kids are in the kids ministry, then you should be serving.
You should totally be serving.
And it makes sense from the staff side, but for the volunteer, for the parent at the church, I mean, some of them might really enjoy doing it eventually, but most parents kind of get annoyed when it's their turn.
Or those parents might be incredible in the student ministry. They might be incredible greeters. And so it may not be the best spot for them.
Agreed. All right.
Let's bring this home. Let's wrap it up. This is question number 5. How long are we on this podcast, Todd?
I don't know. Yep. Daniel's by the board.
Yeah. Perfect timing.
Because I was, you know, since I was accused of type A in this bad boy, I wanted to be sure that we ended in an appropriate amount of time. So, whose job is it to recruit volunteers?
All right. This is the question.
Whose job?
Whose job is it, Todd?
It's everybody's job. Because if we go back to the Great Commission, even, we're not just supposed to be disciples, we're supposed to make disciples. And it is a call to wherever you're going, whatever you're doing, you're bringing people along with you. So I would say it's not a staff's job to recruit and develop volunteers. A big part of what we're talking about in Pipeline is it's a volunteer's job to recruit and develop volunteers. So you're moving people through 3 phases in each level of leadership. So if I'm a volunteer, when I first come into that role, I am learning that position. That is where the onboarding is taking place, and I'm taking in the knowledge, but I'm getting experience, and I'm hopefully getting good coaching. I'm getting good feedback, and I transform into a leader. A leader is just someone who is competent in that role. They understand the responsibilities. They're handling the responsibilities well. They're leading themselves well. And then that's where it ends most of the time. But what we're calling people to do is become a multiplier, move from learner, leader to multiplier. A multiplier is somebody who is investing in someone else at that same level, bringing them in, helping them grow. And once you see somebody multiplying themselves, then they're ready for that next level of leadership. Whether you're talking about a leader, whether you're talking about a coach, whether you're talking about a person who's a ministry director, if you see them developing their staff and bringing their staff through that process where their staff are starting to multiply themselves, man, that is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And that person should be elevated to a new position if you're experiencing growth. If you don't see that happening in somebody, do not put them in a position, because they may be a great administrator, but they're not a developer.
Yeah, I mean, break it down, right? So think about your children's ministry, for example. As the children's director or the children's pastor, oftentimes you have, and if you're in guest services or groups or any other role in the church, you often see yourself, the recruitment piece, as being your responsibility, not your leader's responsibility. But think about it, I mean, honestly, who is best set up to identify future teachers in the children's ministry? It's not you. It's maybe the teachers who are already there, who are already leading.
No, that's good. So you want to build a culture. You want to some kind of way build a culture of recruiting, where recruiting happens not just from the leader, for sure not just from the senior pastor, but where it happens at every level.
Yeah, and it's a part of that.
Yeah.
It's a part of their role. And that's what we're going to be talking about the rest of this week. Right, we're going to be talking about types of recruiting tomorrow, tensions of how we recruit currently in the next day, how to create a culture of recruiting, how to onboard volunteers, how to retain volunteers. Recruiting Week is going to give a real snapshot of what we're talking about this fall in Nashville. So October 10 to 12, our entire Pipeline Conference is going to be recruiting, developing, and repeating.
Awesome. All right. Well, you've been listening to the Five Leadership Questions podcast. Why don't you hop on over on iTunes and give us a 18-star review? I don't think that's possible. Just give us the highest number of stars they have and tell Todd he's awesome. Thanks for being with us today.